I'm John Kroll. The day is here. This will be the last No Limits broadcast. We're going to spend this hour saying our farewells and thank yous to the people who have made this program special, the people who listen to it. Joining me will be some of my many partners in doing this show, the two longest tenured producers of No Limits, Sharon Alsop and Shannon Cagle Dawson, and the guy who is here in the studio with me every Tuesday and Thursday, Joe Thatcher. Hatcher. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is No Limits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. Well, the moment has arrived. This is going to be the last broadcast for No Limits. We're going to spend the hour with some old friends saying our farewells and our thank yous to you, the folks who have listened to the program and made it possible for it to create the forum and the space that it has enjoyed. I'm going to introduce it. It feels odd to me. Normally, I'd be saying welcome to the program, but that just seems absurd in this case, the fact that all of these folks have been intimately involved with it. So I'm just going to say I'm glad to see you all. I'm joined here in the studio by Sharon Alsop and Shannon Cagle Dawson, who were the two longest tenured producers of No Limits, and then the guy who has been my partner here in the studio for the past several years, Joe Hatcher. It wouldn't have been a program,
no,
Joe, if I had screwed something up at one point. So it is good to see all of you. It's good to have you here.
It's great to be here. Thank you, John.
It's wonderful to be back.
It is. It's good. So probably I think the way we ought to sort of structure this conversation is by talking about how, you know, we each kind of got involved with the program. And I think, Sharon, you actually started, you were involved in the genesis of the thing even before I came on board.
Yeah, the early discussions. I remember sitting out in the WFYI courtyard with a few people and talking about the concept of, hey, we want to do a once-a-week live talk show. And we got to talking about what topics. And I said that I didn't really think we should have any limits on it. And so then No Limits became the name of the show. And then we went to look for a host. And then news director Mary Hartnett suggested you. And I produced, you hosted. We took it from there. We got to know each other because we didn't know each other. We knew of each other.
Yeah.
I was always broadcast in journalism and you were always newspaper. And so, you know, you do the dance when there's print and broadcast anyway, because there's...
Yeah, we can talk about those stories, too, during
right.
this hour.
But it all worked out, I think, so well, and we made it a great show, and such good audience participation, and grew for a following. You never have something on the air, I don't think, 9 years anymore, so it's just a testament to the show and the station and the listeners. It's been great to be a part of it.
Shannon.
Well, as we know... Sharon eventually left.
Yes, I did.
And that was the week that I got a phone call. I was actually in another office in the building. I have been working with the TV side of WFYI for quite some time. Had been, golly, I don't know if I was in my 9th or 10th year of producing Indiana Lawmakers with John Schwannes, but was also working with Gary Dick at Inside Indiana Business. And... someone said, hey, can you come down to the second floor? We need to talk about something. You have a hand at this kind of thing. And so I picked up where Sharon left off and just had the best time, you know, just collecting the ideas and finding the people and hearing the voices. And this is going to sound silly. I loved going down to the lobby and meeting people when they would come to the show. So it was just fantastic. And I just left last year. So we were 3.5, maybe 4-ish years.
Yeah, I think about four. Three and a half or 4 years, somewhere there. Joe.
Well, I think I'm proof. If you hang around long enough, they'll ask you to do something important. I've been a part-timer here for the better part of 28, 29 years, and mostly working on Saturday morning and filling in around the edges, you know. When I retired from my full-time day job, Roxanna Caldwell, the station manager, said, "Hey, do you want to be the board op for John Kroll?" And I said, "That'd be great, you know, because I read your columns when you worked in the news and followed, you know, you'd see your name in the news with the ACLU. Indiana ACLU, and so they had me come in, and you didn't throw me out, so I'm grateful for that, and it's been a fun ride for 5 years listening to you interview all these people, I gotta say, you know, your interviewing style is so even-handed. It doesn't matter whether you're talking to a senator, or you know, maybe somebody who's involved in a program that works with the poor or is a recipient of the benefits from that. Your style is the same with everybody. You treat everybody with a great deal of equanimity. And it's just been a real fun ride.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much, particularly coming from you, Joe, because you're one of the most decent guys on the face of the planet.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, and I guess I probably ought to get – I had never planned – to do radio or to be a radio talk show host. This has been kind of a weird, but then, you know, my whole career has been kind of a strange series of accidents and coincidences. And I was a little surprised to get the call a long time ago from Mary Hartnett asking if I wanted to host this show. You know, I guess this would have been in early spring of 2010, something like that. I remember I got the call when my wife and children and I were on a family vacation up in Minnesota, visiting my cousins up there. And
surprise.
Yeah. And the phone rings, and I answer it, and I remember looking at Jenny, my wife, after you know, I got off the phone and saying, "Well, WFYI wants me to host a talk show." She looked at me and said, "You're kidding." You know? I said, no, I guess not. But Sharon, you kind of alluded to the fact there wasn't, because I didn't have any training with this. I think, you know, now we can say the first few shows were a bit of an adventure and a learning curve.
I don't recall them specifically, but I mean, in public media, I think takes more risks than commercial anyway, and would not that probably didn't come out right. risk meaning you hadn't been on the air before, but you were a very respected local and regional journalist. So you know, that factors hugely into it. And as Joe said, you know, your interview style is respectful to anybody you talk to, and with practice, things worked out. I'd never been a talk show producer before. I'd been on the news side forever, and it was something I always wanted to do, and I had to feel my way a little bit too. And it was never a problem finding topics ever.
No.
Never a problem finding topics.
I mean, that was the fun thing, because it was either something I wanted to learn more about, or a listener suggested, or you suggested, John, or any, you know, never a problem finding a topic.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other part, is that I felt like just doing the show was an ongoing education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, for all of us.
So fun to learn. Yeah.
I mean, some in more cases than others. I remember you guys.
And good and bad.
You both liked doing gardening shows. And those were not among
and
my
so
favorites.
And so did the listeners.
Oh, that's right.
I forgot about that.
The listeners loved gardening.
The listeners love gardening.
It was kind of fun to see you in an uncomfortable spot sometime. It really was.
I have to agree. I have to agree with that. And then my other question, Sharon, is in the early days of the show, would John show up early out of an overabundance of concern for airtime?
Not too often.
So that was never a thing.
Okay, the guests are here, the producers here, the music's going. John, time to be.
Yeah, well.
Has anybody seen John?
I actually did for the first part of that. I do tend to push deadlines, always have. I am a journalist. But I remember for the first couple of broadcasts, I showed up like a couple of hours early because I was so nervous. And there wasn't any place for me to work out there. They couldn't find a workstation. So all I realized
no
I was
matter.
Doing is,
yeah.
is
worrying here instead of someplace else.
I was walking around and I could just feel my anxiety level climbing and climbing and climbing. And I was already nervous enough about doing this that I thought, okay, this is not working for me. This is not working at all. And I, you know, with me pacing around, I'm sure I was not reducing the anxiety level of people who were out there.
And we weren't at that time yet where we could really joke with each other, and, you know, buddy stuff.
Yeah.
That came later, but what's he doing over there?
Pacing and, you know, looking frenetic and, you know.
Fretting.
Yes. Well, we are doing our farewell show here on No Limits today. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, track us down on Twitter at WFYI. Or you can do what a familiar voice has done, and that would be Jessica Ray Bradner, and call us at 866-476-3881. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, John. Hey, Sharon. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey.
How are you?
First again, I'm doing well, and just want to say thank you guys again for this amazing show. I think another question that I have for you guys is, for your listeners, what's the number one thing that you hope that they have taken away from No Limits over the past, I think, Sharon, you said 9 years?
We'll let Sharon start with that one. We should say, as background, Jessica was an intern on the program. She's a former student of mine, and probably you can tell from the last name, is married to Eric Bradner, who is also a former student of mine, who was the first guest host for the show and then interviewed me about a week and a half ago as part of the beginning of the farewell tour. And then Jessica moved up to being an assistant producer and
was great. She was great.
And was a producer, actually, when you were on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Very reliable. Hi, yeah. John. It's good to hear from you, Jessica.
Good to talk to you too, Sharon.
The question, what do we hope that people took away? I would hope the topics were so varied and we had such a great guest list and people made themselves available to us. I would hope that listeners listened with an open mind, because we tried very hard to present one or two or three or however many sides of a story, and it wasn't always popular, and it would tick people off sometimes, or, you know, in the gardening show, it was just fun to listen to John struggle. But I hope that listeners, we educated them, we entertained them, and that they listened with an open mind and got the most out of it they could.
I think that I was hoping that they would understand that variety is okay, and that there are a lot of different topics that can bring a passion across the listenership. But the thing that I loved about it the most was that it was an hour long, and we could just talk about one thing for a mm-hmm. whole hour. And still to this day, it is so hard to nail that kind of thing down. But to give people time to share their thoughts and their voice on the topic, and just stay with that feeling that I have always loved about WFYI and public media, and that there can be depth, and we can honor that.
Joe.
I think that probably for those people who are saying, why isn't there some place on the radio where I can listen to people sanely discuss issues without yelling at each other, they found a place and they can tell their friends, hey, you should listen to this show. That's what I hope that they took away and you know, hope that they know will continue when Matt takes over next week.
Yeah. And I would say all of those things echo. You know, we wanted it to be variety. I used to say on the air that we call the show No Limits for a reason, that we can talk about anything and all of that. I think my most basic hope was that, you know, at some level we could prove that it is possible for people to get together and talk about things. And even if they don't reach some agreement or resolution at the end of the discussion, there's something valuable and affirming in the fact that at least we are talking together and we are attempting to find a resolution or a solution. I think it's one of the abiding ironies that this show seemed to work at a time when, you know, for much of our culture and much of society, it was getting harder and harder and harder for people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So if there is a sense of satisfaction that I take away from from this program. I think it's going to be that that we did create a little bit of an oasis in what seems to be a desert right now.
I can only remember once or maybe twice that things got a little spirited.
Yeah, but it did from time to time.
Yeah, amazingly not, though, because just the tone. I mean, it's very relaxed in the studio here, and you're relaxed, John, and put guests at ease. And, you know, as we said, we try not to get too many kooks as guests or phone callers. So
we tended not to look for shouters.
Yes.
We're saying our farewells today on No Limits. The folks in the studio with me are Sharon Alsup, Shannon Cagle-Dawson, and Joe Hatcher. If you want to join the conversation, call us at 866-476-3881, send us an email, or find us on social media. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. This is the last No Limits broadcast. We are spending this hour saying our farewells and thank yous to the folks who have made this program such a special experience for me, and I hope for the folks who listen to it. In here in the studio with me are the two longest tenured producers of No Limits, Sharon Alsup and Shannon Cagle-Dawson, and the guy who has been in here in the studio with me every Tuesday and Thursday for the past 5 years, Joe Hatcher. We're also joined by phone with former intern, assistant producer, and producer Jessica Ray Bradner. And Jessica, you can hang with us as long as you want. We're kind of throwing the rules out as far as the phone goes. But if you do need to go, just let us know. If anyone else wants to join the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-476-3881. You can email nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, or track us down on Twitter at wfyi. We have an email from a listener named David who says, I tuned in for the next conversation with No Limits, and it is the last. I'm very sad, as I really love the program. Who is going to ask all tough questions of local issues now? The show is ending when we really need it. Who's going to replace No Limits on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Going to miss your deep, stoic voice. Okay. That one.
Aw.
Well, the part of that question is there's a new show will premiere next Tuesday with a great guy as the host, Matt Pelzer. He's a great choice for the program.
You've been hearing him anyway.
Yeah, you've been hearing him for years here. He was actually our guest on Tuesday talking about the show and where he hopes to take it. The tone, the things that I think you care about, David, he plans to address as well. He wants to create a similar kind of form. Obviously, the show will be a little different because he's a different person with different gifts and all of that, and he should take it in that direction. But I don't think you're going to find that there is not a place to have these kinds of questions. These kinds of discussions, and that he will shy away from asking those questions either. So with that, I think we will take a call. We are, again, at 866-476-3881. Brendan, how are you?
I'm very good, sir, and I'm very sad to hear you go.
Well, thank you very much. It has been a great ride, and I've enjoyed talking with good folks such as you through these years. Let me ask, how long have you been listening to No Limits?
About 5 years. We've actually talked on the phone a few times. We were talking about Sue Elsperman, and I was actually at Ivy Tech at the time. I finished at IUPUI, and we had a spirited conversation. But as unvarnished as it may have been, I think you kept it unbiased, and you kept it fun, and a lot of people called in that day stressing their frustrations, and you provided another lens, another perspective that was very helpful to many people. So I'll wrap it up just by saying thank you so much to everybody, And thank you for the show, and I wish you the best.
Thank you very much for calling in and for sharing that, Brendan. It's good to hear from you. Yeah, that's the other part that I think I'm going to remember.
The nice people.
Well, the nice people, but also the fact that, you know, print, you folks are all old broadcast hands.
Who are you calling old?
Well,
veteran.
Veteran. Yeah. Veteran, it's another way to go with that.
All of us. Yeah, Joe too.
Yeah. But, you know, print, at least in the time I was in it, was sort of a one-way medium. You know, you wrote, and that was the fascinating part about this was the discussion, the dialogue part of it, not just with the folks in the studio, but the show seemed to work the best when it was like all of a sudden, you know, we were having conversations with people at all points in the compass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, radio is a very intimate medium, which is one of the things that attracted me to it. It's like you're talking into a microphone, but to thousands of people. You're in a studio with dim lights, and it's just, I will always miss radio. I mean, I voluntarily left, but it's just, it's a fun thing. It's the back and forth, the dialogue, the however you want to make it, the theater of the mind of it all.
Jessica, what did you enjoy most about it?
Hey, guys, sorry to keep hanging on the call.
No, we kept you there.
I think my favorite part about this show, as mentioned before, was the variety. But from my perspective, too, it was learning a lot more about public radio and public media. And it wasn't, you know, WFYI was something that I had never been exposed to prior to my internship. And now I think it's something that I, you know, especially with No Limits, I hold very dear. Just from a news medium itself, it's fantastic, and it's something that I was glad that I was exposed to early on in college.
So I'm going to ask, what were the shows that everybody, I mean, what were the ones you thought were the most fun to work on, that you enjoyed the most? Because that's different than saying what the best
ones. I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this for several weeks now.
Yeah.
My favorite kind of news or anything is consumer. Mm-hmm. So I always, because personally, when I was in news, I like to do consumer stories. I think it affects everybody, news and business news. I like education shows too, because there's always something underlying in education. There's always something new, something you don't know. So I would say education and consumer type shows. I loved meeting Tamika Catchings and John Green, who I had two local celebrities who are just top notch people. That was fun. I guess Shannon, you?
Sure.
Well, I think as kind of a, you know, that news junkie that we just can't get away from being, I will tell you that my all-time favorite show that we did when I was producing No Limits was the show with World War II prisoner of war, Mane Bubalo.
Oh, yes.
Who had just passed away about a year ago this week, actually. I believe he
died on the 4th of July, didn't he?
It was the 6th of July. It was that. Yeah. Yeah, it was over the holiday, though. And to Sharon's point about the intimacy of radio, there's a way that stories develop in these conversations that it was so great to be privy to over the years, but his was so moving, so moving. The tragedy of his life and the joy of his life and everything that went along with it. And, you know, him feeling like he was just a citizen of Indiana when it all came down to it at the end, and his family were those people. And I would also like to give a shout out, because we did so many great shows. I mean, the Elvis show, the Beatles show, all of those. Every time law enforcement stepped up and decided to join us at the mic, I always thought that they were so generous, and they were so willing to answer the questions. Some of the questions were really hard.
Yeah.
When you open up the phone lines and the email and all the social media, I mean, people can ask really hard questions, and it didn't matter if it was John Perrine from the state police or, you know, who it was. Christina Menina, who was a former detective with IMPD, we did a Crime Con show. And she turned out to be one of the greatest, most interesting interviews that we did that year. It was so fun.
Sometimes the ones that made you most apprehensive lining up, it's like, oh, is this going to work? And, hey, that was really good.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, this is going to be a killer show. And then, it did not go well.
Getting to the end of the hour is going to be difficult.
Yes.
Joe.
Well, I think one of my favorite shows, just from an audience participation part, was the Pie Show.
Oh, Pie!
The Pie. How can you miss with Pie? And it was that way. The phones were ringing off the hook, and people were calling in. It was just a fun show.
Yeah, because everybody's got an opinion about Pie.
Oh yes.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. So many of them were fun, and I can't say that there was ever a bad hour I had or felt like I didn't learn something or didn't get something out of the discussion. I think the one that kind of signaled to me what a brave new world we were moving into was the John Green Show. Mm-hmm. When he tweeted out right before we went on the air, literally, he said, "Give me the contact information." He was sitting in the chair and is sitting in right now. And I gave him, the 866-476-3881, the email and all of Japan, Burma, he crashed the WFYI website, from what I understand. All of a sudden, literally, I was trying to clear the phone lines as fast as I could, because he was.
Because we really didn't know the power of Twitter and all that then. I mean, that was just when we started No Limits. Twitter was just ramping up, really, and we didn't know. And then that happened. Whoa. Okay. Yeah. Pay attention.
Well, yeah, I remember saying when we got to the end of that program, I looked at it, we'd signed off, and as he's getting ready, I said, "Elvis has left the building." Mm-hmm. I mean, it was huge. We've gotten an email from a listener named Patrice. Again, our email address is nolimits@wfyi.org. Patrice writes, "You will be greatly missed. Thank you very much. Your value illustrated by the current discussion of what you wanted your audience to take away, a whole hour of important local topics, hearing from diverse audience opinions and own experiences. I learned a great deal, made me think about my personal opinion and all of that." Well, thank you very much, Patrice. If we did that, that's really what we were aiming to do. I mean, that pretty much encapsulates the original vision for the show, right,
mm-hmm.
Sharon?
Mm-hmm. As Shannon said, you don't get an hour to do anything in broadcasting, really. And I was used to doing 5-minute newscasts. When you do a story, keep it under 40, 50 seconds. So for taking an hour for one guest or one topic or several guests, it's huge. And always appreciated having that time on WFYI, that they would take that time to devote to basically whatever we wanted to choose to talk about.
Yeah, I cannot, in the 9 years, I wasn't privy to all of the, behind-the-scenes conversations. I think you both worked fairly hard to protect me from some of that stuff.
Well, there weren't a lot,
but I don't
really
think there was ever a show that got shot down, was there?
I don't think. I mean, there were some encouragement to do a few, which is fine. I mean, that's expected.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think there was a topic that we ever said, we better not touch that one.
Really, the limit was the 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yes.
there's so much news in this community and around the state, and so many Hoosiers involved in so many important things around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the problem was trying to, narrow down to two shows a week, I thought, often.
Yeah.
I really feel, since I've been out of broadcasting and news and No Limits, much less connected to the community, and I don't like that. I work at Kiwanis International now, which is more of a global thing and completely different, and it's very interesting. But I do miss the sense of knowing everything that's going on in the community, or at least an awful lot, and what's going on when and different people, because I just being out of news, that's just a factor of that.
Well, and I one of the things while the show was going on is that I tended not to think a whole lot about the shows that we'd done before, and I tried not to think too much about the shows that were coming up, because part of the challenge I discovered was just trying to stay here in the moment, stay completely present, stay focused on the people with whom we were talking about. So we were talking with on that day. So I didn't, you know, get spend a whole lot of time in introspection or taking a retrospective look at the show. But I realized, man, over the years, we've had every living governor or except Joe Kernan on the program, every senator but Mike Braun, mayors, several of them.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically every mayor, every living mayor.
The Bill Hudnut interview was truly exceptional. I mean, there are a lot of mayors, but that was just an amazing opportunity to hear him talk about his time as the leader of Indianapolis.
Well, and especially, that's the other thing that I think I'm very grateful for, the time that, and you know, when Eric and I were talking over the air last week, I apologize to listeners if I'm repeating myself, but the fact that, we were able to talk with not just Bill Hudnut, but Dick Lugar not long before they passed. And we have those conversations that are now, you know, archived forever that people are going to be able to consult. And, you know, at the time that a lot of those figures died, the fact that we were there to be kind of a public forum for the grief and coming to terms was special. So, Joe, what do you think was the, you know, what do you recall what was the tensest moment on a show? I mean, was there ever one where you thought?
Well, I remember you discussing with a legislator about the viability of individuals owning nuclear weapons, and I thought that one was, thought that was a little tense, maybe.
That wasn't on my watch, Shannon.
No,
that was
it was me.
Yeah, that was Jim Lucas.
It was Jim Lucas. Yeah, if there were going to be voices raised at any point across that spectrum, that was the show, I think, was Jim Lucas, because, you know, he doesn't hold back.
Well,
and you don't want limits on something like that.
And part of it.
And he was willing to come on, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I give him credit for that. And he, you know. And I, for those who read my column, they know I've clashed with Representative Lucas a time or two. But he said each time he's been on the program that he felt like he got a fair hearing, which mattered a great deal. But in that case, I mean, and that's part of, I think, why, you know, a forum like this, he'd said, well, I'm an absolutist when it comes to the Second Amendment. You know, I just don't believe there should be any restrictions at all. That's what I thought kind of begged the question, okay, are you saying people, individuals should be able to own nuclear weapons, biological weapons? And as you recall, he didn't answer the question. He said, I'm going to pass on that. What did you recall a tense moment? Anything? That...
I remember it might have been when Tamika was on, there was a report of an active shooter on the IUPUI campus, and you know, we were in here. We couldn't get to our sources because I was in the producer's room, and you were here, and I was, you know, I didn't. It's hard to feed you information in your ear when you don't really have concrete information. So we were that was a difficult situation. And fortunately, no trouble really at IUPUI other than the initial scare. So other than that, I don't...
Yeah, as I recall, that was a great conversation with her because she's an incredibly personable woman. And we decided we were going to rerun that at one point. And I said, well, the challenge is going to be you got to go out and pull out all of those references.
I think we were going to enter in a contest, too. And it's like, how do we deal with this?
Yeah,
does
we don't
it show
do...
our strength by this or not?
We don't want to do Orson Welles' War of the Worlds here,
right. Yes.
Modern-day version. We're talking about the last show here of No Limits today. Joining me here in the studio are former producers of No Limits, Sharon Olseth and Shannon Cagle-Dawson, and the guy who's here with me in the studio every Tuesday and Thursday, Joe Hatcher. I'm John Kroll. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. This is the last day that No Limits will be on the air. I'm joined by some old friends today in the studio who are partners in the program and are helping me say farewell. They are the two longest tenured producers of No Limits, Sharon Olseth and Shannon Cagle-Dawson. And the guy who's been here in the studio with me for the past 5 years, every Tuesday and Thursday, Joe Hatcher. If you want to join the conversation, you can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi, track us down on Twitter at wfyi, or do what a listener named Tom has done and give us a call at 866-476-3881. Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, John, thank you so much. And I just wanted to, we've never met, but I wanted to thank you for what you've done. You may have been told that I started out about 25 years ago at WFYI under our dear friend, Lord Wright.
Mm.
And so much is changing. And I just hope to encourage everybody that we're always better when we're working together. And a lot of my, I really came from a very conservative background, and my experiences with NPR and everything really has given me a more balanced outlook for the challenges that we face as Indianapolis moves into the, our 200th birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm much, much more comfortable behind the mic or behind the camera than I am up front.
Okay.
So, but thank you for everything you've done.
And thank you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. It's good to hear from you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We also have a series of messages via social media. One from Anne-Marie Tiernan at WTHR, who this is via Twitter, and you can find us on Twitter at WFYI. She writes, thank you and best wishes always. At WFYI, John Kroll, Shannon, and Sharon, and Joe. Eric Bradner, familiar, also via Twitter, says, terrific crew there. Congratulations, John, on a long and successful run. Melissa, again, via Twitter, says, so many driveway moments over the years that it's a challenge to choose just one. Thank you, John Kroll, for the informative and occasionally inadvertently entertaining introductions to the folks around me. Cheers to you.
Inadvertent.
Yeah, well, there were some times, well, what, you know, I bobbled Joe's name at the top of the hour here, so that's the beauty of doing it live, folks. And then Joe on Facebook, and again, you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI, says, fond farewell, John and crew. I was delighted when No Limits began because I missed the interactive aspect I knew from Wisconsin Public Radio. I moved back to Wisconsin a year ago, but continued listening to you. Thanks to you all, and best wishes on the new ventures. Well, thank you very much for that. I'm glad we had that kind of relationship, Joe, and I am very, very grateful for the time and attention that you gave to us. And then we also have heard from Robert via Facebook. Sorry to see you guys leave the air. Every show has been eye-opening, one word, and sincere. Even the fun topics. Thank you. And then Indiana Ghost Walks on Twitter says, listen to many fascinating interviews, but of course have to vote for our own Nicole and Michael visiting.
I
and
remember
talking
that.
About real ghost stories. I think John didn't quite know what to do with us when he realized we meant it and believe. Great callers, though, and all of that. Well, it's not...
It's good to get out of your comfort zone.
It is, but it's also some of that is that, and I've had this conversation with people, and I'm sure you guys have over the years too. To be a journalist is you're trained towards skepticism in all areas. It's that, you know, the cliche always is if your mother tells you she loves you, check it out. You know, which, you know, in this Oprah era might actually be more. In that case, it was more about kind of challenging. But that was an interesting one. I'd asked these two. Shannon, do you recall a tense show? One that made you worry at all?
Not really, because I think because we were always aiming for thoughtful conversation, mostly we got thoughtful conversation. So I think generally we did okay. The show with Representative Lucas was probably the one that I also recall as being, because as you said, he's always been very firm and very forthright in his beliefs. And sometimes that kind of runs afoul of some folks.
I remember we had a show, and I can't remember which one of you, because it was, I think it was in kind of that transitional period when we were talking about school vouchers or education interests, and we had...
That's another one.
And remember, I had to come back from the break and sort of say, okay, this
yes,
is the way...
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, so it was on your watch.
Yeah, that was...
I had to come back from the break and say, okay, this is the way it's going to work. It's going to be like we are in a classroom.
I was thinking about that this morning, because I was trying to think, okay, what were the highlights?
It felt like, don't make me pull this radio station over.
Yeah, it was an education show, and it was... Yeah, there was... that was one of the spirited ones again. Which
and probably would be today still.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, particularly with a lot of the stuff that's going on. I think the other thing that for me, the ones that I really enjoyed through the years is when we kind of blew the show up. We had something planned and there was a big event or a moment and we just sort of said, okay, we're going to put aside what we'd planned to talk about and we're going to respond to this. Instead, which obviously put some challenges on the producers because they had a show all set and got to figure out a way then to get, you know, appropriate people in there.
I wish we would have done that more when I was there at the beginning. Part of it was just time constraints because I would be here at 4:30 in the morning doing news until whenever, 9:10. And so I didn't have enough time, or maybe I didn't make as much time to be as nimble as I wish I could or should have to change more on a dime. And perhaps that's going to be happening with the new show when somebody is dedicated to that, and that is the one job that they do. But it's so hard in radio because so many people have multiple jobs. It's just the way it works.
One of the things that I liked about it, though, with having a broadcast background in television is that there are so many ways to get people to take part in the show.
Mm-hmm.
You could join by phone. You could, join online. Or you could join, unlike TV, where you have to have that visual that goes with it.
Yeah.
If we needed to do something quickly, we could do it while, such and such a guest was driving to Fort Wayne and calling from their car.
Yeah.
It was much easier to, manage that call-in aspect.
Yeah. Jody, were those shows enjoyable for you, or were they nerve-wracking?
Oh, no, not nerve-wracking at all. It's just radio stuff happens within seconds, so it's there's not really a technical challenge as long as because we've got a good support staff in the engineering team here. They're the ones who make the calls, and the producers were doing that, and it's just piped in. All I have to do is push a button here, push a button there, and main thing is the communication aspect, just knowing what's coming so that you're ready for it. And everybody did a great job with that.
Well, you make it sound easy, but I'm pretty sure there were a couple of times when I stressed out Cedric and Chris Flood.
Yeah.
No, that was not my intent to make it. It's easy for me. John asked me if it was easy for me because we've got this great team here.
And that's something I'd planned to do at the end of the show, but I think since we've got the time, I probably ought to say, we talk about the fact that radio is this intimate and personal medium, and it is, because it creates kind of this illusion that there's just this one voice talking, through your speakers. But the reality is it takes a lot of people to do a show like this.
It does.
And if any one of them doesn't do her or his job, the whole thing falls apart. So they've all got to be dedicated. And I would be worse than remiss. I would be, a bore if I did not say that there were a lot of people who made this program happen and made it special. I'm going to name some of them right now. I do it with, some trepidation because I'm terrified I'm going to forget somebody, and the last thing I want to do at this moment is make anyone feel that he or she was not appreciated. But, I want to start with Lloyd Wright, who's already been mentioned, and all of the folks at WFYI, Roxana Caldwell, Richard Miles through the years, Mary Hartnett, who's not here, obviously my colleagues here in the studio with me, Melissa Davis, Abby Terzini, Cedric Freeman, Chris Flood, Jeanette Rhodes, Don Hibschweiler, Matt Sosi, Matt Pelzer, who also is the new host of All In and also has worked the boards here, and many others along the way who have worked to make this show happen and make it seem like it was effortless.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't effortless. They had to work very, very hard.
Everybody brought a piece to the puzzle. The board operators and engineers and the producers and you and people feeding us information and setting things up. It did take. One of the nice things I think is we were pretty skeleton staff when we first started, and WFYI is one of the really few radio stations, TV stations that's actually been hiring. I think increasing its staff, so that. That's only good.
Rarer. And that's part of, when All In, gets through its soft launch, in theory, you're going to have, five days of conversations like this and a constant presence rather than 2 days a week, and that will be a good thing. And that shows WFYI and IPBS's commitment, obviously, to news coverage. We're hearing more from listeners from Andrew on Facebook, and again, you can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI. Says, thank you so much for bringing topics to us with a balanced and inviting attitude. We need more shows like yours that tell stories and inform. When we get to know one another, it's easier to understand and acknowledge our differences without malice. No Limits has brought that and displayed it well for us over the years. Thank you, and enjoy your next adventures. Lynn also on Facebook says, I was surprised and deeply dismayed to hear of No Limits ending. The conversations always have been interesting and respectful. I have learned much from the way you handled challenging callers. All the best to you and the crew. And then Emily also on Facebook says, thank you for your ongoing coverage on hunger. Your perspective and community engagement will be missed. Well, it's good to feel appreciated, but I want to remind people this is not the end of the discussion. There's just going to be a new host and a new program that is going to be filling the space. This before. Yeah, and more. But Matt Pelzer is a great guy. He is a great choice for the host of the program. And I think that the things that you valued about No Limits will continue to be on the air. So, Sharon, when you left, what did you miss most about the program?
I missed and I didn't miss it. Was what was starting to feel a little bit like a gerbil wheel, mechanical, the process of thinking of a topic, going through your list of contacts for guest ideas, doing the emailing of guests, waiting for responses, pinning them down, saying here, just the whole thing. I got a little bit bored with that toward the end, which is part of the reason I toiled with my decision to leave and just look for something new to do. But then, in retrospect, then, wasn't that fun? Mm-hmm. And I do that a little bit of a setting of the table in my current job now because it is nice to get all the arrangements made and set up, and so to take it to you or my current boss or something, say, here it is, it's all set up, and here's your background, and I do enjoy that. So it's just in a different format that I or business that I do it in now. But I just I don't know. That's a tough question for me, mm-hmm. because it got a little routine.
Mm-hmm.
And just being back here on a radio station, I love, because mm-hmm. I wanted to be in radio since I was a kid. So it's fun to be back and reminisce,
yeah.
I guess.
Shannon.
What do I miss?
Yeah.
I miss the news side of this. I work for Indianapolis Classical Schools now as the director of public relations, and it's very different from anything I'd ever done anywhere else in my career. And I miss being part of the news business day in and day out, mm-hmm. all the time.
Joe, how about you? What are you going to miss most about the show?
Well, I'll still be here doing some you know, the being the local affiliate for the news show. So I'll get to hear that. I think you had some very thoughtful questions. It seemed like I always learned something listening to you ask people questions. So I'll miss that. As far as the love of radio, when my wife and I got married, I told her, I got to tell you, I have a girlfriend. Her name is Radio. I loved radio so much. I worked out in different jobs and different careers, but I worked here part-time because, I got started in public radio when I was in college way back when. And
hey, so did I.
Yeah, and I came back to it because I just
right.
love it. So I'm going to miss, No Limits, but it's always exciting in radio because when something new comes in, and I'm going to be looking forward mm-hmm. to seeing what Matt does with All In on Tuesday.
We have gotten a caller who didn't want to go on the air, a guy named Jim, that kind of speaks to the spirit of the program. And this is about Jerry Wallace, who was a person who would call in frequently
Jerry.
And ask some of the great questions or send emails. He had, as I recall, a very idiosyncratic sense of punctuation and capitalization. But his good friend called in and wanted to let us know how much No Limits was talked about between them and how much Jerry enjoyed the show. Jerry passed away this spring. And, that speaks to the kind of relationship that I think we all hoped this show would engender. It doesn't even seem right to call the folks who listened to the show and called in an audience. They were participants in the program.
Yes,
they were
very
partners.
Much. Very loyal.
In that. Yes, they were incredibly, incredibly devoted. And so we're coming to the end here. So I want to reserve these last bits to say that I think the most important thank you of all, and that is there are so many ways people can choose to spend their time these days and so many things that pull at them. Our profound gratitude that you chose to spend some of your time, your valuable time with us over these past 9 years. I am profoundly grateful, and I think everyone who ever worked on the show was. So with that, for the very last time, I will say I am John Krall. You have been listening to No Limits. We offer you a very profound thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Producers, Sarah Neal Estes, Roxana Caldwell, and Jill Sheridan. Interactive Media Coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical Producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And Board Engineer, Joe Hatcher. Emily Matheny screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.